So my name is Orijit Khan, and I'm an assistant professor at Nanyang Technological University, which is NTU in Singapore. This is a joint work with Gustavo Sejovia from ETH Zurich in Switzerland, and also with Donald Kosman, who is in Microsoft Research in Redmond. So let's get started. Today we find large-scale graph structure data almost everywhere, such as social networks, chemical compound structure, knowledge graphs, biological networks, and even in machine learning, there are many algorithms that work with large-scale graph structure data. Now, in all these graphs, they are not just the graph structure of topology consisting of only nodes and edges. Rather, they are a complex combination of structure and content. That means with every node, with every edge, and with the graph itself, we can associate a lot of information. And to query these graphs with low latency and high throughput, we often partition them in a horizontal manner using many servers that are connected in a cluster. Right? So here we have several partitions of the graph, and then we put each partition in a machine or a server, and then the router has the corresponding information, so when the query comes, it sends the query to the most relevant partition or to the most relevant machine which can answer this query. So this is the state-of-the-art distributed graph querying architecture, and there are many Sigmod and VLDB papers that are published based on this architecture. Let's discuss these disadvantages one by one. So in terms of fixed routing, of course the router needs to maintain a fixed routing table or maybe a fixed routing strategy. That means it's less flexible and in terms of particularly fault tolerance. For example, let's say some machine goes down, then what you need to do, you need to repartition the graph only using the available machines. On the other hand, if you want to add new machine, again you need to repartition the graph and you need to put some portion in that new machine. And possibly you need to also change the routing table in the router, right? So this is clearly less flexible. And also, you need to have a very good graph partitioning strategy for this kind of architecture. Why? First of all, you want to balance your workload, right? So that means you assume that each partition holds same amount of graph data. And then you also want to minimize the inter-machine communication, right? So maybe the number of cross edges or the cut edges that go from one machine to another machine. So this is the classical problem of balanced minimum edge cut graph partitioning, and we know that this is NP-hard, and it's particularly difficult for the real-life large-scale graphs which are power law nature. And more importantly, one-time partition is not good enough. Why? Because the workload can change over time, the graph structure can change over time, and because of that, you need to dynamically update your partition. And there are many works that actually update those partitions dynamically. However, to monitor the workload changes online and then to migrate the data based on your dynamic graph partition is also very expensive. So to avoid these two bottlenecks, one is due to fixed or less flexible routing, and the other is the requirement of a very sophisticated, expensive graph partitioning technique, we propose a new framework which is decoupled graph querying system. So in particular, we decouple the query processing layer and the storage layer into two separate tiers. Okay, so as you can see in this figure, we have some servers which are dedicated only for query processing. And then we have some servers which are dedicated only for graph storage. So now the graph is partitioned across the storage servers, and then the query processors deal with answering the queries, right? They do not hold any part of the graph data. Of course, the router sends the query to one of the query processors, and because the query processors do not hold any part of the graph data, they are equally capable of answering any queries, right? So more flexibility in terms of query routing. But then, they also need the graph data from the graph storage, so the query routers, they access the data from the graph storage as necessary and answer their queries. So other thing to mention is that this partitioning is at least in the level of a logical partitioning, right? So of course you can have physical servers which are separated into two tiers, that's definitely possible, but at least what you can do is this kind of logical separation. That means one server running both a query server daemon together with storing part of the graph data, right? But this logical separation is necessary for our decoupled architecture. So the advantages are that we avoid some of the problems that we encountered in the state-of-the-art distributed graph querying system. For example, the routing becomes much more flexible. Why? Because the query processors, they do not hold any part of the graph data, right? So they can equally handle whatever queries you send to them. And this is particularly good for load balancing and fault tolerance. For example, assume that some of your query processor goes down, But that doesn't change anything in your partition of the graph across the storage server because they are completely separated. Also, you do not need to change anything in your query routing strategy, right? So you can easily add a new query server or remove some of the not working not working query processors. So because of that, each tier can be scaled up independently, right? So if your workload goes up, you can easily add a new query processor. On the other hand, if your graph becomes large over time, you can add new storage processors. Also, this is very generic, right? So we are just logically separating two layers. That means this kind of architecture can be deployed over the existing graph querying system. One thing to mention here is that the idea of decoupling is nothing new, right? So if you follow up some of the recent industrial work, such as Facebook's Memcached and Google's F1, they follow such decoupling of query processing versus the data storage. And in fact, there are recent Sigmod, VLDB, and NSDI papers. They also support such decoupling of query processing versus data storage to improve the scalability and also to improve the throughput. However, we need to also understand the disadvantage of such decoupling, right? So we have some benefits over the existing architecture, but there is nothing like free lunch. So the main advantage is that the query processors do not hold any part of the data, right? So now they need to communicate with the storage servers to get whatever data that they need. And this might add some penalty in terms of the query processing running time. Also, this kind of architecture may cause high contention rates on either the network, the storage, or both. So these are the two bottlenecks, and our main contribution is we propose some smart query routing strategy that can deal with such bottlenecks over our decoupled architecture. So in particular, our smart query routing can utilize the cache of the query processors, right? Because the query processor contains some cache. So if we can route our queries intelligently and we can build enough locality in the cache of the query processor, most likely the queries can be answered locally within the query processor. And this solves our problems, right? So the query processor doesn't need to go to the storage server and fetch the data as frequently as possible, right? Less frequently. So because of that, the penalty that we might incur is reduced. And not only that, for this kind of cache locality, because the query can be answered locally within the cache, it doesn't matter how you partition the graph across the graph storage, right? Of course, a good partitioning always helps, but even if you do a simple, less expensive, like hash partitioning, this is okay because you already have most of the data relevant to your query in the cache of the query processor. So how you partition the data here across the storage servers is less relevant in such decoupled architecture. But of course, the trick is smart query routing that I shall introduce next. Before I introduce our query routing strategy, let's look at the kind of workloads that we considered in this work. So in particular, we looked at online queries which require very fast response time. And usually they travel or they require data from a very small region of the graph. So something like, let's say, H of traversal queries, or you start with one query node and you ask to traverse up to a certain number of hops. This could be up to two hops or three hops surrounding this node. So a typical example could be in LinkedIn. Suppose I'm looking for all the people within my two hops who work in Google, right? It's a very relevant query. So we call such queries as H of traversal query, and some basic examples could be H of neighborhood aggregation, such as find all my two hop neighbors who work in Google or Facebook. It could be H-step random walk with restart, and this kind of random walk is useful for personalized page rank, node classification, finding experts, or you could also identify H of reachability. That means given two nodes, are they connected within a distance of H of? And again, this query is quite useful for biological module discovery, for graph pattern matching, SparkQL query answering, and so on. So our smart query routing is built considering this kind of workloads, where we start with a query node and we want to visit within its H of neighborhood structure. Now, what are the objectives of our query routing? So here we listed four objectives. The first one, you need to leverage each processor cache data, right? Because the more is the locality that you can build in the cache, the better is that you don't need to fetch the data from the storage, so the faster will be query processing. But at the same time, you also want to balance the workload, even if it is queued or it contains hotspot. Next, you want to make fast routing decision. And of course, you can have some pre-processing data in the router, but that should not be too large, right? We are not looking for storing the entire graph structure in the query router. Maybe some small amount of data as a pre-processing step. However, our objectives are often conflicting. Why? So for example, take a simple case such as to achieve the maximum cache locality, you can route all your queries to one query router or on query processor and assume that no cache eviction happens, right? So in this case, you can achieve the maximum cache locality. However, the workload will be highly imbalanced in that case, right? So if you distribute your queries across all the query processors, you get perfect distribution, right? Perfect load balance. So of course, there is a conflict between the cache locality versus the load balancing. The other thing could be the router can actually look at what is in the cache of the query processor and make a decision of routing based on that. But again, this is not quite effective because this will incur more communication delay. And then we introduce another requirement here. This is more specific for the graph queries. We call it topology-aware locality. This is different from the traditional relational workload. So assume that I have two successive queries on nodes U and V, and they are neighbors, right? So then possibly I should send them to the same query processor because their neighborhood overlaps a lot, right? That's what you see in the graph topology. And we call it topology aware locality. So the router must send two successive queries on nearby nodes to the same query processor. However, how does the router will know that these are two neighboring nodes in the graph structure? And the last one is query stealing. So this one, we are saying that even if, let's say, a processor has a lot of relevant information in its cache, but maybe there is a skewed workload, right? That means a lot of my queries are already routed to that specific query processor, so you don't want to overload it. Rather, you should send your other queries to some other processor which doesn't have a lot of workloads, right? But then you should not just randomly send those queries. You still want to maintain topology or locality as much as possible. So based on these requirements, we propose two routing strategies. The first one we call landmark routing, and this is based on the idea of landmark nodes in a graph. So assume that I have a landmark node L, and given this landmark and two other nodes U and V, I can upper bound and lower bound their distance, right, based on the triangle inequality. So we use the same idea, and here our intuition is quite simple. So if two nodes are close with respect to a specific landmark, then we can assume that they are close to themselves, right? And because of that, we can apply such idea to do some pre-processing, and then we use that pre-processed information for smart query routing. So I'll not go into the details here, but the basic idea is we create or we generate a set of landmark nodes, and then we assign these landmarks to the routers, right? And after that, we compute the distance of every node with respect to those landmarks, and then based on how I assign the landmarks to the query nodes, to the query processors, I define the distance of every node in the graph with respect to a query processor. And this is nothing but how close a specific landmark in a processor is from that query node, right? So to store this information, we need order of n p space because for each node, I compute the distance of that node to the query processor. Now, when the query comes, this is the online routing part. What we do is we compute the closest distance, right? The router, the query processor, which is closest based on this distance, and I just route my query to that query processor. So of course, that means that a lot of nodes which are close to a specific landmark, they'll be routed to the same query processor. So we can achieve topology aware locality. Not only that, we can modify this distance to also consider the amount of workload that you have on that router, on that query processor. Right, so assume that the processor has a lot of workload, so then we can modify this distance to the next best query processor. And in this way, all the other query nodes will be routed to the same query processor, so you can still maintain topology aware locality. However, one drawback of this smart routing is that your pre-processing depends on the topology of the system, right? Because you are assigning the landmark nodes to the query processors, right? So if you change your number of query processor, maybe you need to reassign the landmarks, right? So the pre-processing is not independent of the network of the system topology. So the next, as a solution to this, I shall propose the next smart routing strategy based on graph embedding, which will be completely independent of the system topology. So here what we do is that we embed the graph into a low dimensional space. So basically, we just assign coordinates of each graph node such that their distance in the original graph space is preserved as much as possible. So here we have a toy example, right? So here we have a triangle, and the distance of every node is one. And then we assign coordinates in a two-dimensional space such that their distance is preserved, right? And you can, and there are a lot of machine learning and data mining techniques which can embed a graph into a low-dimensional space. So that's all what we do as the pre-processing. And clearly, this is independent of the system topology. Does not matter how many query processors you have in the system. So this is great. And then in terms of the online query routing, what we do is that the router actually knows which queries it sent to which query processor before, right? So it can keep track of the mean of the query processor. And the mean that we compute is based on exponential moving average. So that means we give more weightage to the queries that are sent recently. And because of that, we can support LRU replacement policy in the cache of the query processors, right? So if a query is sent recently, that means it's most recently used. So most likely it is in the cache of the query processor. And then the router decides which query processor has the smallest distance with respect to that query node and just send the query to that specific query processor. So in this way, we can maintain topology of our locality, and at the same time, you can also modify this distance by considering the load of the query processors. So if the workload is too much, you can send it to the next best query processor. Okay, so now I shall discuss some experimental results. So we used 4 data sets in our paper. The largest one is the WebGraph data set, about 100 million nodes, 3 billion edges. In our cluster, we have 12 servers. We vary the amount of cache to 0 to 4 gigabyte per server. And they are connected by 40 Gbps InfiniBand as well as 10 Gbps Ethernet. Then we use 1 server as the router, 7 servers as the query processor, and 4 as the storage server. The other important thing is that we only use 1 core of each server. That means only 1 thread is running in each server. Of course, one can do multi-threading in each server and further improve the throughput. But for simplicity here, I'll just show the result using 1 thread per server. So use the RAM cloud as the storage tier, and the graph is partitioned across very simple hash partitioning of the nodes, right? We do not use any sophisticated graph partitioning. We did a lot of experiments. I will not be able to show all of them, but here is the list of experiments that you can find in the paper. So the first one, we do an end-to-end runtime comparison and the throughput comparison with some of the existing graph systems for distributed graph querying. These are published recently in SigMod and VLDB, and we find that our method can get one order of magnitude higher throughput compared to those systems, even with inexpensive graph partitioning. Whereas those systems, they use more sophisticated balanced minimum edge cut graph partitioning and also repartitioning, so that takes a lot of time, right? Whereas we do not need to do such sophisticated partitioning. The next, what I will actually show in this talk, is the scalability with respect to the number of processors. And I shall also show the impact of cache size. However, you shall find other experiments in the paper, such as impact of the graph update and sensitivity with respect to different parameters. Okay, so let's see the performance with respect to the varying number of query processors. So we vary the number of query processors on the x-axis from 1 to 7. And here the type of the query that we send is something like this, right? So let's say we have 1,000 query nodes and we send the queries to the router. Now, those queries can be grouped into 100 different sets. Each set is basically a hotspot, right? For each set, I have 10 query nodes that are coming from a very small region or very local region of the graph. So I send the queries on this hotspot consecutively. After that, I change my hotspot to another region of the graph. And in this way, I send total 1,000 queries. So as you can expect that as I increase my number of processors, your throughput should increase, right? Because you get more parallelism. But at the same time, there is another factor, which is the amount of cache heat that you get in those machines. So if you increase the number of processors, and if you route your queries randomly, then the amount of cache locality will decrease, right? The more number of query processors, and if you do random routing, the less will be the locality. So there are 2 conflicting factors. And because of that, if we look at some of the baseline techniques, such as hash routing or next-ready routing, then they get saturated after a certain number of processors, right? So beyond 4 or 5 processors, their throughput does not increase. And that's because their cache hit rates decreases as you increase the number of processors. On the other hand, if we look at our smart routing, such as embedding and landmark, the 2 on the top, they maintain almost the same kind of cache hit rate, even with increasing number of processors. So because of that, as I increase my number of query processors, I improve my throughput almost linearly for this smart routing strategy. So this shows the effectiveness of smart query routing. The other experiment I will show is the impact of the cache size. So the straight line is the line when I do not have any cache, right? Because cache management itself takes some amount of time. And what we find is that the response time reaches this threshold. So maybe can I take 1 more minute? Yeah. So the response time reaches this threshold at a smaller cache amount, right? So for 64 megabyte of cache, the embedded routing can actually overcome the or become less take less response time compared to no cache, right? Whereas if you use some of the baseline techniques such as hash or next ready, you read much more amount of cache. So this basically says that the smart routing can utilize this cache space well, and for the same amount of cache space, they can provide much lower query running time compared to some of the baseline techniques. So finally, I'd like to conclude. So we have two main contributions in this work. First, we propose a decoupled graph querying system, which is significantly different from the state-of-the-art graph querying systems. And we propose smart query routing to get better cache locality over such distributed systems. And based on the experiments, we achieve linear scalability in terms of the number of query processors. It works well in the presence of query hotspot. And we emphasize less on expensive graph partitioning and repartitioning techniques. So with that, I'll end, and I'll be happy to take questions. Thank you.
So just to remind people to please introduce yourselves when you ask a question.
Sure, this is Vaishnav. So I had a question in terms of you're trying to use the query nodes to remove hotspots, but on your graph partitioning or the storage nodes, you do have like two dimensions. One is the storage where you have the content that you need, and another one is a disk bandwidth. Mm-hmm. So you can route all the queries you want in the first layer, but it can end up creating hotspots in the second layer. Have you thought about that?
Can you repeat the question? What do you mean by layer, first layer and the second layer?
Your query processing nodes and the second layer behind
it's the storage,
storage node. But you're trying to remove the hotspots in the first layer, but there's no way to control the hotspots in the second layer.
So the first of all, if you think of like no load balancing, then you identify what query processor has the maximum amount of cache data, right? So that's the distance based on the embedding that we define. But after that, we also modify this distance by considering the processor load. And this basically takes into consideration that, okay, this query processor, already I sent a lot of queries to it, so the router knows it, and the router can maybe, when I have a lot of queries on it, maybe start sending the other relevant queries to the next available query processor. And in this way, you build the locality in the next best query processor. So that's how you can take care of the workload the query tier.
I meant sort of hotspots in the storage layer. Like if all the requests end up going to like one storage node.
That's a good point. I don't think we have any solution for that at this point. Okay. Yeah. But we did some experiments based on how does it scale with respect to the number of storage processors, and we find that this also scales quite well. Yeah, okay. But we haven't explicitly looked at that.
Okay.
Thanks.
So I had one other question. You left the graph update problem for the paper, but I was curious what you need to do in the smart router as well as at the cache layer to deal with updates to the underlying graph.
Right. So we did some experiments in case of graph updates because as you can understand that this embedding needs to be updated as the graph changes and this is not so simple. So what we did is how effective such smart embedding or pre-processing technique is with respect to some new graph update, right? So let's say I have some new nodes added or deleted. So in case of node addition, what we do is we embed the node with respect to the existing information. However, the existing information itself could change, right, if the graph is updated. We do not take care of that. Rather, we just add the new node and its coordinates, and we see that how effective that technique is with respect to such query routing. We find that if the amount of update is small, such as, let's say, I only added 5% new nodes, then it still works quite well, right? But if the update is a lot, for example, let's say I change 30% of the graph, then the performance becomes suboptimal compared to you do the pre-processing from scratch on this new graph. But to get that amount of update, of course, you need some time, right? So we hope that maybe in that time you can rebuild your pre-processing and you can start it from there. So for local updates, this is quite effective.
Great, thank you.
Thanks.